Everybody warm enough? No? All right. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about evangelism. Maybe for some of you, when you hear that word, maybe a shiver goes up your spine and you don't want to talk much about it. Or maybe you think of some street preacher standing on the corner yelling at people. That is not a very effective method of evangelism, and that's not where I want to go with this tonight. But we're going to talk about evangelism as just being something that we all can participate in, and something that is as simple as just taking a walk across a room. And taking a walk across a room is something that we can all do. The single greatest gift that a Christian can give to the people around them is an introduction to the God who created them, who loves them, and who has a purpose for their life. There is no other gift that you can give to someone that's as valuable as that. And when you boil it all down, that's what evangelism is all about. Constantly watching for ways to give this gift to someone who's living far away from God. Allowing God to use us to present this gift to someone who desperately needs it. This is the way that Christ did evangelism. Jesus walked across rooms. He didn't wait for people to come to him. He went to them to offer them salvation. One of the most dramatic occurrences of Jesus taking a walk across a room is found in John chapter 4. And we'll look at John chapter 4, about verse 5 through 9 there, again in John, the fourth chapter. And there it's recorded that he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came down to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus and his disciples had been traveling all day, and here they come to the well. And it's in the middle of the day, and these 13 men are hot and hungry, and no doubt unbelievably thirsty. And there, this woman is by the well. We read later on that she was of five marriages and divorces, and was now living not with her spouse in the home. So in highly spiritual terms, this is what you call having a lot of tread off of your tires. That is where this woman was. And Jesus' disciples, they go into town to get something to eat or buy supplies. And Jesus stays back at the well. And when we see him again, it's without hesitation that he walks from one side to the well to the other. And I think we can tell from the scripture, it catches the woman off guard, to say the least. When Jesus walks over and asks for a drink, it tells us there that the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. And don't overlook that statement there in the parentheses. Jesus was Jewish, and this woman was a Samaritan. And because of the customs of that region, she was not expecting Jesus to have anything to do with her. In their society, Jesus wasn't just walking across a typical room. He was walking across a gender a racial, a cultural, and even man-made religious traditions. You can start at the first. She was a woman. Jewish men didn't speak to women in public. Jewish husbands, a lot of times, didn't even speak to their wives in public. But not only is she a woman, she is a Samaritan, a sort of Jewish half-breed who wasn't even allowed to worship in Jerusalem. And that's where all the Jews worshipped. Most Jews wouldn't even have visited this town because they believed they would have become unclean. And of course, finally, her lifestyle would have labeled this woman a sinner by the establishment, a person that should be avoided at all costs. This was no ordinary walk across the room. But despite all of the cultural protocol violations, Jesus took the walk anyway. He reached out his hand and he started a conversation with the woman that he wasn't supposed to have anything to do with. Moreover, he lets the conversation evolve from drawing a cup of water from the well to something much deeper in nature, like living water, as he calls it. He, in essence, is calling this woman back to God. The Bible, John goes ahead and tells us that she leaves her basin and she runs back into town and she drags half of her friends and neighbors out, telling them that they have to come meet the man who knew all about her sordid past, but accepted her and showed her grace. And for the next 2 days, it says that all of these wide-eyed people just hang around and they're listening to Jesus preach. And the Bible tells us that many people from this town crossed the line of faith and joined God's family during that time frame, all because one man took the time to walk across the room or around a well to reach someone who was living far away from God. I want to kind of look at some very practical things that I think we today can pull out of this story and use to begin to look for people as opportunities to share the gospel of Christ, that we can be people that walk across the room. I think the first thing that Jesus does here is he left his circle of comfort. And the same has to be true for us as well. The first step for us to become usable for God is to be willing to extricate ourselves from our circles of comfort and stretch out a hand to a person who needs the hope that only we can offer. It would be a lot easier for Jesus if he would have just went into town with his friends. That was his group, his disciples. He was comfortable with them, but instead, after seeing this Samaritan woman, he was willing to step outside of that circle of comfort and go to her. And if you put yourself in that scenario, wells then were the social gathering place in Jesus' culture. It was a place that people gathered, not only for water, but also for a social connection. Today, we may meet at restaurants or other establishments, but in this culture, people met at wells, and it was the center of any community's social scene. And so again, put yourself in that social setting. Do you stay in a circle where it's easy to relate, where conversations come easy, where there's no threat? In other words, nothing unsafe can happen. That, a lot of times, is what we choose to do. But then, if you look across the room and you see someone that is standing alone, Jesus not only saw this Samaritan woman, but he felt something. The prompting of the Holy Spirit, possibly, to say, why don't you go over there? Have you felt that feeling where you want to stay in that comfort zone? But God wants you to remove yourself from that circle and take a walk to that person. Now, Remember that Jesus took a risk with this walk. He could have gotten into legal problems because of this conversation with the Samaritan woman. When we walk across rooms, risk is also involved. But we take the walk anyway. We pray every step of the way. But once we leave that circle of comfort, there's no turning back. The walk takes us to where God is calling us to go. And it's sort of that zone of the unknown. And it's there in that zone that God does his best work. When Jesus went into that zone of the unknown, he impacted this woman. He impacted her family and many in that town. All because he was willing to take a risk. And so that brings the question, what would happen if we were to take a few steps across a room? Is it possible that we could actually impact someone's eternal destiny? Perhaps even that of their family. We could change the course of an entire family history simply by willing to take a few steps across a room towards someone who is heading towards a Christless eternity. Do you think then it would be worth the risk to take 10 steps across a room? If we go back to John's account here in verse 7, it says, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" At the risk of sounding overly obvious, this woman came here to draw water from the well. And Jesus opened the conversation by talking about water. And I say this often, but that was Jesus meeting this woman right where she was. He knew what she was doing. She was getting water. So that is where he started. He didn't start by preaching. He started with probably the mildest topic you could imagine, that being water. But then that conversation led to a deeper conversation about God. When we walk across rooms, we can't necessarily go with a sermon prepped and ready. A couple of generations ago, that may have been something that worked. You grabbed some tracts, you grabbed your Bible, you went pounding the pavement, knocking on doors, and making cold calls. For whatever reason, that doesn't seem to be working anymore. People have become immediately defensive instead of open about Christians that use these tactics. And instead, effective evangelism is becoming this sort of relationship building, meeting people where they are. And it may be days, and it may be months, or even years, before you finally get the opportunity to significantly talk about God. But God never promised that it would be fast, but it is effective. I have a friend who became a Christian as he was an adult, and he called and traced that back to some times we had as young men, as boys. But it didn't start with me and him and the Bible all sitting around in a living room. It started with our friendship, and it took years for that to develop. We talked a lot about water or this or that before we got to anything else. It was a lot of hanging out with each other, talking about music and sports and anything else that came up before it moved into something more deeper, until we started sharing about faith and family and relationships. But when we finally got to that place, he did some more harder studying and decided after meeting with the minister where he lived that he was ready to be baptized. But the whole reason he listened to me in the first place was because I had earned the right to be heard. And that takes time. That takes building. But it is time that is worth investing. If you're wondering where you start, you just walk. Open up the conversation. Get the ball rolling. Invest your time that is necessary. Again, we have that single greatest gift to share with people around us. But we've got to do the preliminary work. And it starts by getting up and going over and talking to people. Romans 5, verse 8 reminds us why these walks are so important. Paul says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God demonstrated his love for you and me through Christ. And how was it exactly that Jesus demonstrated this love of the Father? What was that radical move that he made to prove to you and me that he really is filled with redemptive, unconditional love for each one of us? You probably are tired of hearing me saying this, but know where I'm going. Jesus took a walk. The Message Bible, which I don't quote very often, but it gives this verses in Philippians, and I like the way they translated Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. And it kind of, maybe it makes it a little too folksy, but here's how they word it. It says, "Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantage of the status no matter what. No, not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, and became a human. And having become human, he stayed human. And it was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim any special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death of that, a crucifixion." You look at verse 7 again there. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. These verses from Philippians point to a very specific point in history, an actual time and space when Jesus walked all the way across the cosmos and reached out that redemptive hand to a people like you and me. And because of that one walk, humankind was able to be saved. And you think about the implications of that walk just for a second. That passage tells us that Jesus was under the direction of the Father. There he left the ultimate circle of comfort, that of heaven itself, a direct participation in the Trinity, the worship and adoration of angels. Jesus left that circle of comfort, and he took the longest walk a person could ever take. And the reason why he did that is to reach out a hand to people like you and me. And it doesn't end right there. He didn't only, not only did his walk save us, but his walk set the example for us. In addition to taking that walk from heaven to earth, he also took that walk to show us how it could be done. And these days, especially in our lives, what he tries to do between now and heaven is to say, what I did for you, and for you to bring other people to me. And so the key is to not get yourself tied up in knots, trying to make sure all the mechanics and the logistics are right. You don't have to even give a hint of mental energy to motivations about guilt versus obligation. You can cast all of those things aside and instead just go with what you know and teach Christ crucified. God says to all of us today, I want to ask you to walk across the street or walk across a restaurant or your office building, your cafeteria, those things. And this is what I want you to do, to just walk, to bring the message to someone who doesn't have it. And we do that because Jesus did that walk for us. And isn't that, as Christians, what we believe? As we close today, I want those of you that are Christians to think about how you wound up in the kingdom. I want you to think about some friends of yours that you know that are in the kingdom. Almost every Christian that I know of can probably think back to somebody. And it may have been a mom or a dad, a co-worker or a teacher. It may have been a friend or a neighbor or a youth minister or a preacher. But most every Christian had someone who was willing to walk across the room for them. And so if you can do that, someone probably took a risk for you along the way. They walked across the room. They started what was a very hard conversation. They started a relationship. They did something that would interest you in the possibility of knowing the love of God and the opportunity of being free from your sins. If this is true for you, I would guess that you probably have a very high respect for that person, this person who took the walk to help rescue you. This person took the risk to approach you and to hand you the single greatest gift you'd ever receive in your entire life. If someone took a walk for you, how can you not be willing to take a walk for someone else? That is the gift that you and I can give to another person. Is the greatest gift is to give an introduction to a God that has declared his mission to find every person who is lost and to save them. If you are not a Christian today, we encourage you to put on Christ in baptism, to become saved. If you are a Christian and have fallen away or just need the prayers of this conversation or congregation, we encourage you to come as together we stand and we sing.